All right, let's move this thing into hour number two. Welcome to the program. I know some of you start listening right now, so good morning, good afternoon. What's cracking? I'm Jim Rome. You missed a really good first hour. Why was it good? Well, I was a part of it. I gave you a tremendous open. You know, honestly, I have not been giving myself enough credit lately, so let me give myself credit for that first hour and that open. We had a nice conversation with Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day. Daniel Jeremiah, one of my favorite human beings, joins us in 20 minutes from right now. I want to talk about my half fam, the Jouds, the Celtics, which I will after I read a response or two. At CU Buffs, ECS 826 on X writes, Rome, you're right. A draft full of quarterbacks is the best. Regards, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields.
Like the pants.
Hey, at CU Buffs, ECS 826. I didn't say a draft full of the best quarterbacks. I said a draft full of quarterbacks is the best. Are you trying to tell me that the 2021 draft was not entertaining as hell? Because if you are, you're wrong. There was a lot of intrigue, and it was entertaining as hell when you consider you had that generational talent, Trevor Lawrence, you know, that one can't-miss guy. The debate over who the Jets should take at number two. The fact that the Niners gave up what they gave up to take an inexperienced Trey Lance. The Patriots having to draft Bacon's replacement. The hell are you talking about? CU Buffs, ECS, 826. Do better, Buff. No, check that. Do better, Bot. Hey, let me tell you something. At CU Buffs, ECS, 826. Rather than trying to come at me and make me look bad and you failed, you got enough to worry about in your own house, man. I would argue that your own house is burning down. Why don't you worry about that? Why don't you check and see how many of your own have hit the portal? I know Dion's daughter did, and she goes to school there. Man, stop. If you want to come at me, I'm not even going to say, if you want to come at me, you best not miss. Because you might not miss, but you're going to have to do a hell of a lot better than that. If you wake up every morning thinking to yourself, man, I hate Rome. I'm going to find something he said and turn it around on him and make him look bad. If that was your deal, dude, you failed. That was a really entertaining draft, just like tonight is going to be a really entertaining draft. As always, do better. Failure right there. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Yo, Chowd, half fam. Why do I say that? They're my half fam. My father was born in Boston. I didn't find out till very late in the game, but my mother was born in Frisco. I didn't even know that. Like, I've been going through life thinking my mother, Jan, who's still alive, was actually born in Central California. I thought so. She used to live in Central California, but she told me she was born in Frisco. So even though I'm an LA native, my father was Boston born and bred. Yeah, I know, Chouds. I know you hate that because you hate me, but I am you. Well, I'm half you. And Frisco fan, you may hate me even more than Boston fan does, but I'm half you. I'm a mixed breed. I'm half Frisco and half Chowd. Anyway. Half Chowd fam, I've got two words for you. Uh-oh. In fact, two more words, half Chowd fam. Heat culture. And a question. Four words and a question. Four words. Uh-oh, heat culture. And the question is, the hell happened to the Celtics last night? Well, aside from getting lit up in a total and complete laser show, it was like a freaking EDM concert in TD Garden last night. Miami's out here dropping bombs. The Heat were making it rain. And listen, it's always going to be tough anytime a team catches fire like that and knocks in 23 trays in a road playoff game. Never mind that that's never supposed to happen. But if it does happen, it's going to be tough. But here's a quick thought for the Celtics. I don't know. Maybe somebody? Anybody? Get a freaking hand up? Yeah, I know, a crazy idea. Maybe? Anybody, somebody, try to actually contest a shot out on the perimeter? Especially when they're all going in? Maybe somebody get a mitt up in the air? Maybe try to close? Maybe try to close somebody down? Listen, I don't want to take any credit away from Eric Spoelstra because the guy deserves so much credit. This dude's incredible. Eric Spoelstra is incredible. Every year around this time, Spo reminds us that he might be both the most underrated coach, not in basketball, but in all pro sports, while at the same time being the best coach in pro sports. Like, he's that good. Hall of Famer, legendary coach. That said, I'm not really sure that he did anything legendary last night. Nothing that special, nothing that complex, nothing that schematically brilliant. At least nothing that he was willing to take credit for publicly. Because, and again, I don't fully buy that. Smart as hell, unbelievable coach. But after the game, he said the game plan was actually very simple. There was nothing brilliant about what I asked of my guys.
The point of emphasis is take the shots that are given to us. Those are the open shots, the way they're defending us all game one. The rest of the game, I don't know. It might be different. We just have to be open to what they're giving us.
I think that's part of the Heat culture. Know that you're 10 times smarter than the guys you're going up against, but act like you're 10 times dumber. But they're not. Just take the shots that are given to us. That was the adjustment you made. Yeah, well, the rest of the game is not that much different. They just hit the open shots that were given to them because they had open shots given to them the entire night. And that's not exactly the best look for Joe Mazzulla and the half fam. In fact, it's a pretty horrible look. I'm not saying that you should be in full-on panic mode, chowed half-fam, even if I know you're already there. But the fact is, you still have a much better team on paper. I mean, much better. You did win, what, 64 games? You did finish 14 games ahead of the next closest team in the East. Here is one issue, however. Miami's got a much better coach. A much, much, much better coach. And I'm not trying to put all of this on Joe Mazzulla, but dude, you can't blow a first-round home game to an 8 seed, especially after they punked you last year in the conference finals. And you can't lose to that 8 seed that did you last year in the conference finals when their franchise player is not playing. And you really can't try and tell us afterwards that what we all saw didn't actually happen, Joe.
Defensively, obviously they made a conscious effort, the free reign to shoot more. And I thought, most of those were, moderately to heavily contested. And so we're going to have to make the adjustment on some of those.
You thought that most of those shots were moderately to heavily contested. Right. And I think that I'm 6'4". 225 and was a first round draft pick in the NFL, and they're going to fit me for a gold jacket soon.
Moderately to heavily contested.
Come on, dude. What are you talking about? I mean, really, your statement is almost as absurd as mine. Moderately to heavily contested.
Moderately to heavily contested. And
if by moderately to heavily contested, you mean totally uncontested, then yes, I would agree, Joseph. Otherwise, the hell game were you watching, Joe? You had the best seat in the house. They were your players. What were you watching? Because what I saw was the Heat Celticing the Celtics. The Celtics are supposed to be the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. You know, what wins in the NBA right now? 3-and-D, yo. 3-and-D. And the Celtics didn't either. Yes, Miami made a conscious effort to shoot more. They made a conscious effort to take the wide open shots that they were given. You just heard Spo lay it out. The Heat didn't make a conscious effort to take more moderately to heavily contested shots. They made a conscious effort to take wide-ass open shots. And you know what? It really worked out well for them because you kept giving them wide-ass open shots. Now, I mean, even Spo would tell you, anybody would tell you, they're not going to hit better than 53% of those shots again. Even if you give them wide-ass open looks like that, they won't make that many shots again. But I got to ask the question. Once you see that they have been clearly instructed to shoot the three, I don't know. Maybe you start to close the distance. Maybe somebody puts a hand up. Maybe you change your strategy. Maybe you do something when they're knocking in all those shots. Listen, the Celtics should be fine if they actually do get a hand up for the rest of the series. But then again, how do we really know? What if it's not just one game? After what happened last year, I can understand why my half-chowed fam is in full-on panic. And also, it's why Jimmy Butler is trolling the hell out of the Chouds on Instagram after the game last night. Now, that was funny. That cracked me up. Last year, you'll recall, after Boston got down 3-0, Jaylen Brown said, quote, "Don't let us get one." That was a quote. "Don't let us get one." So last night, Himmy Buckets post that quote in a graphic with a pic of Jaylen Brown, except with his own face, photoshopped over Jaylen's face with the caption, "Feeling cute, might delete later, psych,
psych.
Ain't deleting bleep." What an amazing troll job. And he look said, you know, don't let us get one.
Look at you.
Look at you. Look at you. What an amazing job. Troll job by an amazing troll. I mean, Himmy, look at you.
Look at you.
And I mean that in a positive sense. I mean that as a compliment. It's playoff Himmy managing to be playoff Himmy even when he's not actually playing in the games. It's incredible how this team is still effective and still dangerous and still living rent-free in the heads of the Chouds even without Himmy out there. And again, two words to thank for that. Heat culture. And two more words for my Chowd half fam. Uh-oh! Honestly, half fam, before you come at me and say, "Hey, Rome, easy. It's just one game." Maybe. In fact, I hope so. You better hope it's only one game. It better be just one game. Because again, you ran away with the East. You're playing the team that did you last year in the playoffs. They're without their franchise, Himmy. They're an 8 seed. There's no way that one game, even if it's only one game, there's no way even that one game should have happened. That should have never happened. It better be one game, half fam. And you better do them in their house the way they just did you in your house, or uh-oh. All the credit in the world to Spo and the Heat, and absolutely zero credit to the Celtics and what they did in the regular season. Because you dominate all regular season to get the home court, and it's already gone. And the Heat ripped it without Himmy. Damn right, You better flip that table one more time. You better do them the way they did you. Because if you fall behind 2-1, man, they will be gripping hard. When we come back, Daniel Jeremiah will be joining us. Albie, maybe not right now, but maybe next hour. Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. Is awesome. I play it every single day. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and then watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. It's you and the world's best players. You know, Alvie. Take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and lots of special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Prize Picks also offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. I love it. You will too. Download the app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Code ROME, R-O-M-E, on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. Alvi will have a pick next hour. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 4 minute.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, and it is draft night. And since it is draft night, we are very fortunate. In fact, very fortunate any time to run this guy down, but especially tonight. He is an NFL Network analyst. He is an LA Chargers radio analyst. He is co-host of the Move the Sticks podcast. NFL Network is going to provide live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit starting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. But they can't do it without this guy, the legend, Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, what's cracking, dude? How you doing?
What is up, Rome? It is in Detroit. It's actually beautiful outside, and the buzz is already building, man. This is going to be awesome tonight.
It is going to be an awesome night. Listen, DJ, given our years of friendship, I think I've got a pretty good idea of how hard you grind year-round in preparation for this very night, how seriously you take your role in this night. I'm curious, how would you describe your headspace as you get ready to be a part of football's spring spectacle taking place in a great town like D-Town?
Oh, dude, it was funny, man. I was talking to my wife a little bit earlier. She's back home in San Diego. And she said, I was just remembering today that when we were dating, this is like circa 1997, and we've been on one of our first dates, and she goes, I remember asking you, what's your favorite holiday? And I remember thinking you say Christmas, you say Thanksgiving, and you said the NFL draft. And I was like, what?
Great.
So this is something I've always loved, man. So I don't take it for granted. I am very blessed to be a part of it and to to see the scene when they've taken this to cities, man. Like, this is the NFL. They nailed it, dude. Like, it was awesome in New York, and there was an energy there. But you take this thing as a traveling road show, and you get to go to some great cities like this one. It's just, there's nothing like it, man. And there's, my phone's been, blowing up for the last 48 hours with all these GMs and coaches. Everybody's trying to swap information. Maybe it's disinformation. Who knows? But I think the entire league's fired up for this thing tonight.
No doubt. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so we've been expecting Caleb Williams to be the number one pick overall. And it's been that way for months, right? So what we really didn't expect necessarily was the amount of borderline character assassination of this dude in recent days by anonymous sources. Now, to your point, DJ, some of this is smoke, some of it's not. We see it every single draft season. But given that he was compared to Russell Wilson at his worst, even Prince, of all people, which makes no sense because to me, that's far from a diss. What is your reaction to all the negativity we're hearing about Williams in the 12th hour?
I don't know, dude. I mean, look, if he can sing like Prince or hoop like Prince, it's a heck of a pick, and the Bears, they got their guy.
Right.
I don't know. It's just kind of dumb. There's. I've seen the levels of this. Like, every new generation that comes in, right, there's an adjustment. And I've used this comparison. Well, two of them, really. When I first started scouting in 03, we had an older scout in the room, and I remember sitting in there, and he was talking about, I don't know, this guy's got tattoos. Like, do we want this guy? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm like mid-20s, and is this real? And then it's like every generation, it's kind of things are different, things change. And, there's always people that are holding on to other, to the past. And I use, being in Detroit, I would use this analogy, like, can you imagine, like, the Bad Boy Pistons, like, their thoughts on how NBA players arrive at the arena now, like what they wear? Like, yeah, it's different. It's different. It's just, this is how it happens. Every generation's different, and some people can't adjust to the next generation. So I think it's all kind of silly.
I think it's all kind of silly, and I love that anecdote, that kind of story. Like, well, oh, no, we can't take that guy. He's got ink. He's got tats. We don't want him representing us. You can't trust that guy. He's got a tattoo. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. So after Williams is taken by the Bears, DJ, there could be a run on the quarterbacks. Factoring the potential for trades, that's the unknown variable always. What is the likelihood that we could have three more quarterbacks taken in the top five with Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy all quickly coming off the board?
Yeah, I think it's in play. I think we see three. I think we see 1, 2, 3. It looks like, you know, as we're talking, Jaden Daniels looks like the likely pick at 2 with Washington. Drake May, I feel confident, is going to go 3, you know, with New England holding that pick and taking him, or, you know, they get the, you know, the last-minute offer that they can't turn down from the Vikings or from the Giants. But I feel like that third pick will be Drake May. And then it becomes, you know, we're on J.J. McCarthy watch. You know, is it, you know, is there a situation where the Giants could sit and take him at 6? Does Minnesota want to trade up in front of them? I got the sense Minnesota would do they send a farm to go get Drake May. But if they can't get him, I think they'd be a little more measured in their trade offers. So, in other words, I don't know if they would part with pick 23 for McCarthy, because I think they like Penix as well, and they would be content, hey, if we got jumped for McCarthy, we could still take Penix. So that, you know, they're going to get one of those 5 guys. So that's part of the calculus there. I think if, you know, Minnesota could move up a couple spots to just lock in their guy, sure. But in that scenario, they'd be able to hold on to pick 23. So kind of a complicated way of saying it, Jim, but I do think that we're going to get a very real chance of, in the first 13, 14 picks, we have 5 freaking quarterbacks go. Is that nuts?
That's insane. That's insane. I was talking about that before you came on, that's part of what makes this draft so fascinating and why it's going to be so crazy. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. And then, of course, you got the wide receivers, right? I had this tremendous conversation yesterday with Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze, who, besides having the best first name ever, DJ, he's such an impressive dude. I know you know this, both on and off the field. How long is my guy going to have to wait to hear his name called tonight?
He's my favorite player in the draft, Jim. I'm glad you said that.
Wow, dude, I love hearing that from you.
He's my absolute favorite. He's my third overall player, but my favorite player. He's, first of all, as a dude, when you watch him, he can play inside, he can play outside. He can win with quickness at the line of scrimmage, or he can just overpower you. He's the best contested catch guy. Like, you throw it in traffic, not a problem. He'll go get it. He can go get it over the top of you. But for a big guy, he can still run. He's had return value in the past. He can get in and out of breaks. So all that football stuff, right, all great. Then I'd start doing my homework on him as a dude. And the stuff that I got back out of Washington was, like, he is, like, insanely intelligent. You could put him anywhere. He'll pick the offense up immediately. The work ethic is off the charts. Anytime Penix ever wanted to throw, like, I know people would come to work out Penix, and, like, Penix could call Rome with, you know, 5 minutes heads up, and, like, we're going to go to this park and do this. Done. There. He loves football. He's a great teammate. So I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with this dude. And I tweeted it out when I finished watching him after I'd watched the top, you know, 10 or so wideouts, and I said, I gave the same grade to Rome Odunze that I gave to Marvin Harrison Jr., and people lost their minds when I put that out there. But I think as the NFL, as they've got a chance to go through the whole process, I think there's a lot of love for him, man.
Oh, he's so great. I thought, I'd never spoken to him before, and he came on yesterday. It's very clear that he loves football, but this dude loves life, man. He was so comfortable, so conversational, so funny, so smart, so locked in. I mean, I could not have been more impressed. I'm really happy to hear you say what you said about him. Now, the big money, DJ, that was recently given in free agency to guys who can get to the quarterback is just the latest reminder of their value. Before I let you go, which edge rushers do you like the most in this draft?
There are 3 dudes. They're very close. They're very different. I have it Dallas Turner from Bama, Jared Burst from Florida State, and then Latu Latu from UCLA. But Latu, you got to factor in the medical stuff. You know, he had the neck injury. He got retired from Washington, you know, took some time, and then ended up at UCLA and was lights out the last 2 years. So he's the tricky one, just in terms of you got to get comfortable with the medical. I think all 3 of those guys are really good players. But, Jim, this is, you know, to the previous part of our conversation, it's an offensive draft, man. I think we're going to set a record tonight for offensive players. It's going to be very offensive heavy.
So one last thought. When you tell that story about how your favorite holiday is tonight, on a personal note, the sports media lost a giant when renowned football journalist Chris Mortensen passed away last month. And I thought, DJ, you very, very eloquently described how great of an impact he had on you as a mentor and what he meant to you personally. How much are you maybe thinking about Mort today, considering how closely identified he had been with the draft for so long?
Well, you know, first of all, just on a friend mentor level, I mean, he opened all the doors. People say he opened a door for me. He opened all the doors for me. So I literally owe him, you know, my career for everything that he did for me. And that's on the career side. But just as a friend, one of my best friends, you know, there's an age difference with us, but it was kind of like he was a brother. We talked all the time. And especially during this time of the year, I mean, we'd be talking all day long. In fact, you know, there's been a couple years where I've got lucky on some of these mock drafts and hit some picks. So if my mock draft nosedives this year, you know, look, not having Mort to help me out with some of that stuff, that'll be you'll look at that and realize how helpful he was to me over the years. But before the draft, we would always get together. He was at ESPN, I'm with NFL Network, and we see each other. We give each other a hug. We pray with one another, and I always treasured that moment, and I'm going to miss the heck out of that moment tonight.
Love that. Love that. I feel you. NFL Network providing live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. It is in Detroit. It does start tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. My guy Daniel Jeremiah will be all over it. DJ, I know you make it a point to come on when we ask you, even the day of, so I appreciate you. Have an absolutely awesome weekend, and great to run you down, DJ. Thanks so much.
Well, dude, as much as I love Adunze, you'll always be my favorite Rome, brother.
You're the best. You're the best, man. Racked out legend, Daniel Jeremiah joining us. What a great line on the way out the door. Yesterday, my namesake, Rome, he was so awesome. I knew what DJ thought about him as a player, but I didn't know that he even liked him that much or thought that highly of him overall. Like, that's my guy. That's my favorite guy in the draft. In case you missed the interview yesterday, that's another one you should go and track down. He came off so well. So well. I love that. Love DJ. He goes way, way back. He goes way back to the Rome 3-on-3 basketball tournament in San Diego when I was on 690 AM. That's how far back DJ and I go. Yesterday we had this incredible thread about how that one idiot, anonymous GM, said, yeah, I don't know about Caleb Williams. He's like, if Prince were to play quarterback. And I went off on this whole thing about, dude, is that supposed to be a diss? Because if it is, it's the worst diss ever. If Prince were to play quarterback as their quarterback, that'd be the best thing that ever happened to the Bears. What? Believe me, this is what they want. This is what they need. What kind of a diss is that? So we're talking about this, and it's becoming really organic, and the show's going off in this other direction. And then another knucklehead hits me up. I think it was Mike D from the 3, who's like, yeah, Rome, he would be like, if Prince played quarterback, if he's the most overrated player ever, like Prince was as a musician. And I'm like, holy crap, that's even dumber than the first take. And then somebody else jumped in with, hey, Rome, it's actually accurate. I was at the Coliseum when he got his ass booed off the stage opening for the Rolling Stones. I was one of the guys booing Rome. I saw it. He was the most overrated musician ever. And then the takes were just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And then I said, hey, Tommy, I actually didn't know about that. I'll own it. I didn't know about that. Do a little research. And then Tom finds an article in the LA Times, and come to find out, Mick Jagger asked Prince to open for them. I mean, bad idea, Mick. But my point was, and I said even before I saw that article, that anybody who knows anything about music respects Prince, respects the hell out of Prince. The guy was transcended, overrated. He was one of the GOATs. I mean, it's an idiotic take if you know anything about music. If you've ever even picked up one instrument in your life, you know what a genius Prince was. Not to mention, as DJ points out, a badass hooper at 5'1" or whatever he was. So then the whole show goes off, and then somebody calls up and says, hey, Rome, I was at that show. I'm like, you were at that show in 1981. And I said, you know what? I'll bet you that guy, as great as that was, I'll bet you that guy was not the only guy at that show. And then we start getting calls and posts on X and emails. And in the final analysis, we found like 25 people who were listening yesterday who were at that show. This is why we're still talking about Prince today. That's what happened yesterday. That's just a reset and why that jumped the day very clearly. That was fun, too. All right, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Something else I want to talk about, the Lakers. Hey, listen, now you're officially on the clock. The beef segment is the top of hour number three. Up in here, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to beef via the X platform, hit me up at Jim Rome. If you want to email me with your beef. And remember, for the beef segment, anything is fair game except the JN, except toilet humor. We beef at the top of the hour. So I got a question. Why is old Trapper Beef Jerky the ones responsible for the beef segment? What makes their product so good? Well, why don't we start with the fact that it's a family business that is extremely well-respected, the family itself. I know I've spoken to them. I know what they're about. I know how seriously they take this. I know how much the craft and the product means to this family. I'm aware of their process. I am. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You know, the one that you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. That's not a coincidence. They did that because they want you to see exactly what you're buying. And then you rip open that package, and then you realize every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's not like you're eating or munching on some old shoe. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. They've got four amazing flavors. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ounce bag. That way there's enough for everybody. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What's your beef? And the beef segment is at the top of the hour. They sponsor it. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Here is your sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Infinity Sportsnet. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, so last chance. Get yourself in the rotation. The beef segment's coming up next. And remember, Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? Man, this dude. When I say something like that, this dude, who do you think I'm referring to? Generally, it can be one of half a dozen at most. But this dude. This dude. He writes, quote, "You should be proud to be half chowed. Leave the Celts the hell alone." Signed, your full chowed buddy, Eric in Orlando. I mean, how many things are wrong with that? Besides everything.
Buddy.
First of all, we're not buddies. I keep telling you that, Eric. You keep signing it your buddy when we're not buddies. That's number one. Number two, I'm not proud to be a half chowed. But I am 100% in shock and awe that you continue to bother me. And then finally, leave the Celts the hell alone. Why? Hey, full chowed, fake buddy, did you not watch the game last night? Am I supposed to not do my job because I'm a half chowed? I'm a half chowed and they were full garbage. Am I not supposed to do my job?
Garbage.
Damn. Eric, stop. And when I mean stop, with everything. Anyway, damn, you see, like, you take me off path and not in a good way. So, let's go to L.A. Big night for the Car Flag Nation. You see, this is why I'm the best at what I do. Because I'm so objective. I could take a run at my half-fam. I could take a run at my neighbors to the north and I'm an LA native. Big night for Car Flag Nation. That is if any of them still have their car flags affixed to their rigs. I have not seen very many car flags flapping in the SoCal sunshine since the Lake Show dropped its 10th in a row to the Nuggets. Check that. Since the Lake Show blew a 20-point second-half lead to lose their 10th in a row to the Nuggets. You see, that's the kind of embarrassment that Car Flag Nation simply cannot tolerate. That's the kind of abomination that could make the car flaggers put their car flags out for life.
For life.
Obviously, the Lakers need a bounce back effort tonight. A big bounce back. Because if they don't bounce back and finally beat these dudes here in LA tonight, their season is over. Last chance to get your bleep together, Lake Show. And I can't say that Darvin Ham's comments yesterday inspired very much confidence either. Then again, when have they ever? The only cool or inspiring thing the Ham has ever said as coach of the Lakers was when he said, quote, "We want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades."
We want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
Except that immediately blew up in his face because he got all the smoke that he was looking for. And they obviously can't handle any of the smoke. That's why this dude got glossed. Smoked Ham.
He glossed me.
Smoked Ham. And one thing to get smoked by the opposition, but quite another to get smoked by your own players. And that's exactly what's happening too. Smoked Ham. This was AD's analysis of what went wrong in the critical moments of Game 2. Check this out. This was from the post game on Monday night.
We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us. So.
We got stretches where we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us. Quote, end of quote. How little do they respect the Ham and believe in his ability to make adjustments or even coach at all? Like, it's wild. That is such an indictment of the Ham. And if AD is saying it, you know, LeCap agrees. LeCap probably programmed AD to say it. Probably had AD say it for him. So he didn't have to say it himself.
Don't know what we're doing.
So, I mean, who doesn't believe that? Pretty hard to deny what AD just said. For an example, AD sure as hell didn't look like he knew what was going on either end of the floor for a large stretch of that game. You know, like that stretch from the 7-minute mark of the third quarter on. You know, that entire stretch where he didn't score a single point and the Lakers gagged away a 20-point lead. So, yes, I agree with AD. I also saw stretches where the Lakers didn't look like they knew what the hell they were doing. We all saw it. We all agree with AD. When was the last time we all agreed with AD on anything? Except we all agree with him on this. Everybody. Well, all of us except the Ham. Smoked Ham disagrees with AD. Or to put it in his words, Smoked Ham agrees to disagree with AD.
Ourselves on being highly efficient and organized. And so I just chalked that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game, the way it ended, and all of that. But you know, I'll agree to disagree on that one.
It's agree, or it's a good thing the basketball has drowned out that horrible take. But let me translate that for you. Quote, "We pride ourselves on being highly efficient and organized. All agree to disagree on that one." End of quote. Ham, what is there to agree to disagree about? You just blew a 20-point lead to a team that has beaten you 10 straight times. And before you blew that 20-point lead to the team that has beaten you 10 straight times, you had this to say about how you were going to game plan for slowing down the Joker.
I don't know what to do. You know, you know what I mean?
Bleep, I don't know what to do. Like, anybody got any ideas? None of mine work. I don't know. How the hell am I supposed to know? Feel free to agree to disagree, Smoked Ham. But that doesn't exactly sound like a dude who prides himself on being, quote, highly efficient and organized, end of quote, to me. No, that sounds like a dude who doesn't know what to do and already admitted as much. But sure. Agree to disagree with your alleged supposed face of the franchise the day before the biggest game of the season. Yeah, I know. You got this, Ham. You just know that LeCap totally isn't counting the seconds until he can run you right into the wood chipper. Hey, here's a free prize pick. A free prize pick. Does it take more or less than 5 minutes for LeGM to have LeHam fired after the series ends? Let me put it to you this way. If the Ham really does pride himself on being highly efficient and organized, and if he actually does have a plan for dealing with the Joker, and if he actually does know what he's doing, he better show us tonight. Last chance, Ham. Or you're about to go from a smoked ham to a cooked ham.
We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
The Ham's kind of playing it off like it's just the frustration of the loss and not his own incompetence as a coach. That's not really AD. That's not how he feels about me. Or that we have nothing doing. That's not what the entire team is saying behind my back. He's just frustrated because it was a tough night. The Ham is done. The fact that the face of the franchise is saying that they don't know what they're doing at either end of the floor tells you a couple of things. Number one, they've got no respect or faith in this guy. And number two, they know they're going down and they're going to make sure that everybody knows that it's not their fault. It's the coach's fault. To quote Chris Carter, they need a fall guy and they have theirs. It's the Ham. I mean, don't get it twisted. The Nuggets are a much better team. They're a much better organization than the Lakers. But this might be the single greatest coaching mismatch in league history. Michael Malone versus the Ham. I said before the series, Nuggets in five. But only because LeCap would not let them get swept this year. But certainly it's not going to be because of anything the Ham said or did. Lakers are actually favored tonight. They better win. Beef segment next.